Blog Talk Radio.
Back to Africa. And there are some others who sell Negro
basis of the Constitution of this United States and the authority of God himself. No, we are not willing to wait another 25 years for our rights. We can hear voices telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool up.
Once again, it's Saturday night, and y'all know what that means. That's experiencing spiritual unity and meditation with the man himself, a brother like no other, a man who understands, a creator, a director, got the oldest real estate, black real estate company in the United States of America, 1909. The man himself that have done so much for the community. We love him. He loves us. Let's keep the love going. Dr. Benjamin Bridges, give him a nice hand.
Yes, indeed, y'all. Peace and blessings to everyone. I'm glad to see that we have another opportunity to be on my show, and we're going to be able to talk about some good things that really need to be focused on right now. And one of them is the fact that, you know, we really need to look at our true opportunity to really improve our situations individually and also as a community. And that's something that's really important because, you know, many times we're stuck on the individual part. We're not really looking at the community part. But back in the day, in the 60s, that was when we really came together in unity to work together. And the beautiful thing about it is that we had some leaders that were really very diligent in seeing what they could do to try to bring our people together. And that was Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and quite a few other people. But these were some folks that were really serious about our people coming together to see what we could do. And they were successful in doing that. And because they were successful in doing that, it created a situation where our people literally were able to come together in an empowering and positive way where, you know, we could move forward and make some positive change come about. And that's what we need to do once again. Because right now, you know, there is a lot of brick walls of hatred and anger and not wanting to help each other or do nothing with one another. And because of that twistedness and insanity, it's causing a lot of problems in our community. But that's the thing. We can break free from all of that negativity. But we just have to see things from that positive perspective of us wanting to really come together in unity. And the beautiful thing about it as well is once we start to, even if you just bring the people together to have the open-heartedness and the open-mindedness where they are asking, hey, you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing about really bringing about some positive change to come about in our community. And when you do have people that are willing to do that, that's good. Because there are people out there that don't have any problems with saying, hey, you know what? I don't have no problems with us coming together to see what we could do to bring some positive things in our community. And that's a good thing when you can find folks that are open-minded to do something like that together. And unfortunately, that's not going to be everybody that's willing to do that. But at the same time, there are people out there that do want to do that. And that's why I'm saying to you at this time is that we can definitely see what we can do to make some positive and wonderful things come through. But we have to start off sometimes with a smaller amount of people. And then once the positive results are shared and seen by the community, that's when more and more people start to get involved with it. Because even when Martin Luther King was starting you know, to have these marches and everything with the churches, you know, in the beginning, he got involved with speaking with a lot of different churches, you know, about, you know, 15, 20 churches to come on board with him to do these marches. But, you know, after he spoke with them, you know, most of them didn't want to do that. And I can understand to a certain extent why, because back at that time, the lynching of our people and the murdering of our people was something that was taking place, especially down south. But the bottom line, it was happening on a regular basis to the point where, you know, you were hearing that just about every week that there was, you know, another number of people that were lynched. There were a number of people that were shot and killed and all of this. And, you know, these weren't people that were committing robberies and things like that. These were people that just came from the store or from work and things like that. And then they were, you know, taken up by the Ku Klux Klan and other people. Oh, okay. Yeah. And when that happened with the Ku Klux Klan taking our folks like that, what ended up happening, the situation, you know, was that, you know, they were taking them out to parks and different things, and then they were lynching them up on trees and things like that, which was really cold-hearted. I was, like, really surprised to see that something like that, you know, was happening back in the 50s, in the 40s, and things like that, and even in the early 60s, things like that was happening on the regular. So what needs to happen now is that our folks really need to know that we do have the ability to do these things. And once we start to really acknowledge that we do have the ability to find the right people to work with, that's a good thing. But being that they saw that back at that time, that was the thing that kept a lot of them not wanting to be a part of together and trying to see what we could do with one another. And because that was like that, that's what caused the problem in us working together and making some things happen. So all I can say at this time is that it really is important for our people to understand. And like I said, when you really take a serious look at this, it's very clear and understandable on why, you know, they pulled out and didn't want to work with Martin Luther King, because when they saw all these people being lynched and stuff, they were like, what? He do a march to the White House, or if he do a march to a city hall or something like that, 9 out of 10, they're going to be folks with machine guns there. They're going to, you know, shoot and kill the heck out of us. And Martin, I don't want to have nothing to do with that, because we're going to probably get gunned down and killed and all of that. So when that was said to Martin, what that did, it really convinced a lot of them that they didn't want to deal with it because they felt it was too dangerous to actually do anything, you know, with the march. So he only had a few churches that were willing to work with him. They were saying like it was about 3 or 4 churches instead of, you know, 15 or 20 churches that, you know, he was originally dealing with. And because it was things like that, it caused continuous problems in regards to that coming about. So anyway, to make a long story short, you know, in the beginning, that was what happened. Thought that those were some things that could actually happen with Martin actually dealing with that. It caused some great opportunities for, you know, people later on, because they saw that when they did the marches, that the people weren't getting gunned down and killed and lynched and stuff. So they said, oh, shoot, you know, this is something where we could actually, you know, get involved with and don't have to worry about, you know, being murdered and stuff. And that's when the situation actually started to explode with success, because people started to see that this is something that could actually do some great and wonderful things. And by that happening, that was good, you know. And I was really glad to see that that was something that really, you know, had some great and wonderful results. Because when the people saw that it had some good results, that's when a lot of the different churches joined in with Martin and got involved. And just like now, that's how it could be. We can't expect everybody to join in with us right now. This is your situation right now. We may not be able to really be able to do that. But the bottom line is that as we move down the line, after we get, you know, even just a small amount of people to join in with what we're doing, the bottom line is that it doesn't matter in the beginning how big the group is, but the thing about it is the results that we're coming forth and how we can actually start to turn things around, and that's what's important. So anyway, these are things that can actually come about, but we just need to really be, you know, focused on really trying to see what we could do with that. He's saying, go ahead. So anyway, bottom line is that, you know, we just need to, what's happening, and really see what people are open-minded, open-hearted to deal with this, because us dealing with this, you know, can really be something that can really bring about some positive change. And then that happening, you know, we can definitely, you know, see what we can do to make some positive change come about. You know, and basically, in that happening, what can really happen is that it can really bring about some positive change because, you know, like I said, over time of dealing with this, together with different folks that are really open-hearted and open-minded to really wanting to see some positive change come about in our community, these are things that we can do. So anyway, you know, that is one aspect of it that is really very important. And when that happens, that can be something that can really bring about some positive change into our community. But like I said, we'll just be starting off in the beginning with, you know, different people that are open to deal with this, whether it's the churches, whether it's the masters, even the Hebrew Israelites, or even the Rastafarians. So we could deal with that from a religious point of view. And then also we have different black organizations that are in different cities around the country as well that we can have joined. But the bottom line is we need to come together in unity to see about changing some of the crazy situations that we're facing with our community. And that's the only way that we're really going to do it. You know, it's not going to come about if we are just going to sit on the sidelines and do nothing about it. You know, and one of the other things that is very important, too, is us coming together in spiritual unity. You know, when I say that, I'm talking about prayer, meditation, fasting, things of that sort. When we're focusing on different things that we do want to see come about, we can definitely, you know, utilize that spiritual ability to really make those things come about. And we just, again, just need, once again, people with open hearts and open minds that we would be willing to come together in spiritual unity to really bring about some positive things. And, you know, the beautiful thing about it is I know there are people already out there that will definitely be open to hearing, but the only thing is that us coming together to work with people, you know, the unity, spiritual unity, we just need to find some folks that are open-hearted and open-minded to believe that, you know, God and Jesus has the power to do these things. Because, unfortunately, we've been told that it can't happen. You know, we don't have the ability, nor do we have an opportunity to really make some of these things happen. We do, you know. So what we need to do is look at both aspects of that. Coming together in unity where we can actually, you know, do marches and protests and things of that sort, and also coming together in unity spiritually. And when we come together from the spiritual perspective, that's very positive and powerful as well. And actually, that's the icing on the cake where we can really start to see ourselves bringing about some positive change in our community. But the bottom line is that these are things that we can definitely bring positive change, you know, in regards to things like this coming about. But none of this can really happen if we don't believe it. We have to really and truly be strong believers in order to see ourselves becoming strong and feverish as well. So anyway, make a long story short, these are things that we can do, but we just have to know that these are things that we can make come true. And by us being able to do things like this, see about making things like this truly come about, and without us, you know, knowing or believing, that's the thing. When you put up a brick wall of fear and doubt, that's going to definitely make things difficult to come about, especially spiritually, you know, because even whether you're talking about, you know, through Christianity, or whether you're talking about through Islam or through the Hebrew faith or even the Rastafarian, the bottom line is that in dealing with each other, you know, you have to have full faith in God and really know that through having faith in God, or whether it's Christ or whether it's Allah or whether it's Lord Jehovah, you know, the bottom line is that, you know, you have to believe that these are things that we can do. And if we actually do have the faith and the knowledge and the confidence to know that these are things that we can do, that's when the blessings of God can really start to come through. Because, you know, as it says in the Bible and everything, you know, if you really are one that believes in the fullness and the seriousness of God's awesome and amazing power, then, you know that these are, but if you're a serious doubter that's saying, what, God can change the things that we're going through, the terrible problems that we have in front of us, get out of here. God don't have no power to do that, and we ain't got no ability to work with God to make that happen. But back in the 60s, that was one of the things that really did come about, because not only did Martin and Malcolm represent some folks that were really focused on wanting to bring positive change into our community, but they were also folks that were being people that wanted to see through the power of God and through the power of Jesus, through the power of Allah and other spiritual aspects, that we could actually bring about positive change to our community. And like I said, you know, Martin, he was a reverend at a church. You know, he wasn't someone that was just a person that was a follower of wanting to bring about a movement for our people, but he was also a spiritual person as well. And being that he was, he did get together and they did prayer together and things of that sort. So these are things that can be very helpful in us being able to be successful in accomplishing some great and wonderful things with our people. But again, it all comes back to, do you have the faith? Do you have the confidence and the knowingness to be able to see that this can be a great and awesome and amazing, wonderful new reality for our people? But you have to believe it, you have to see it, and know that it can truly come about. And it will come about. But the bottom line is, if you don't want to actually deal with that and have the faith and knowledge that it can come about, it's going to make it very difficult for things like that to come about. But anyway, the bottom line is this. One of the great and wonderful things is that I definitely feel that now is the time for our people in this year to come together in unity and to be able to bring about some positive things and some positive results that will definitely be serious game changers for our people. But the bottom line is, you know, even if we just start off with just a few hundred people, or or even just in the beginning of 50 or 30 or 20 people, the bottom line is that that's a good thing. And what we need to do is to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that we can definitely bring this about. And one of the great things, I don't know if you heard about this in the Bible or not, but it says, Lord Jehovah, the Supreme Lord of the universe, says, if you have two or three people that are touching and agreeing in God's name, he said, I will be there in the midst to bless. And that's the beautiful thing about it. God is saying that you don't have to have 100 or 1,000 people in dealing with the something about positive change. You could have as little as two or three people seriously and actually see some blessings come through. So these are things that are very powerful to know, and it's very wonderful to know as well, because huge numbers of people spiritually don't always need to be there. But what needs to be there is that we just have the confidence and the knowingness that we can make this stuff happen. And if we see things from that perspective, that's where we can really make some things come about. But if we're going to, you know, feel that this is mission impossible, then that's what it's going to be for you. So anyway, I just wanted to say that these are things that we can do, and we need to start to reach out to one another and see what we can do to bring some positive things about. So what I wanted to say to you is, if any one of you are interested in really trying to see about bringing some positive change about, what would be nice is you could get in touch with me and we'll see what we can do. Because the bottom line is that with us working together in unity, whether it's, like I said, whether it's five, well, we have some, you know, a number of people already. But the bottom line is to add on to that group that we already have, you know, that would be great. And if any of you guys are interested in doing that, all you have to do is give me a call, and we'll see what we can do in regards to coming together in unity to be a blessing to our community. And the number we need to reach me at is 914-979-6372. That's 914-979-6372. Okay. So if any of you have any interest in this, like I said, please give me a call, and that would be good. And also, Brother Ron, if there's anybody that's on the call right now that would have any comments on what we just have done.
We have with us today the Enigma herself, Mr. Carol Smith. Give a nice hand, bring her in.
Thank you so much. I heard what the brother was saying. There's so many things that can be added on. As I stated before, I will give any ex-offender who has some type of work skills, help them get a job with a year's reference, and they get paid $15 an hour. And then after they spend a couple of months, it goes up to $22 an hour. So that's for male and female, and they will train you, and they will give you an interview. Other than that, we have jobs finally for the teenagers, and I don't know how people are going to put that out there, but, you know, it's available, and, you know, it's summer jobs, but it's something is better than nothing. And I'm very happy that we're still together and doing some things. I'm on bed rest right now because I had leg work, but God is, he's alive. So I feel good. And I love that woman that was on yesterday because she said some things I haven't heard in a long time, that the power that be is a black woman and a white man. And, yeah. I love her expressions, and that's old school. That's what I'm accustomed to being raised around, strong black women that know who they are and where they're going and not following this system. This system has fallen, and we have to know that even if you black and rich, that's not applicable towards us. There's still separation. And so many things. And our educational system has fallen as well. So you can't keep training people the same way. You have to find new things and new adventures like construction. We need homes, but we can't get no property to build housing so we can help with the homeless. They already decide already where they're going to put people in, how comfortable they should be, but so many people are scattered throughout the five boroughs further than you can even imagine, and they work here. They lose jobs, and their kids got to go to school. And we having a lot of robberies with our schools, and we're having a lot of fights that, you know, we need to intervene or help with some type of program, which have no problem in trying to bring boxing club, boxing to schools, cooking programs to schools. We might as well have, you know, make the schools part of the homeless program, because two-thirds of our kids are homeless and they go to school there. It was for them to learn a trade, go back to having schools that are, that has trades. You know, everybody else is getting jobs, and they poquito español. They, you know, they poquito English, and they, you know, blend in, and all they know is to ask, "Is your name Carolyn Smith?" "Yes." "This K-12?" "Yes." "You have package." That's it, and they getting paid. So there's no reason why our people should not be working or getting a job. Now, whatever their hustle is, this can add in. Because we don't know how long this, you know, Medicare monies is going to last. And right now our government is not the same as when our grandparents or Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, all that has changed. We have the third world countries intervening in our government. And we have other things that are involved. And the Democrats and Republicans are not the same. So you need to stop looking at them as if they changed a lot since Obama's been out of office. And they let you know they changed, too. So, you know, it's not, we don't have the same government, and we're in a new slavery concerning this cell phone thing. And it's, you know, showing our kids just how to do things. And if you don't think at the age of 10 your child is not street smart, think again. Because there wasn't nothing dumb about us when we was poor and we had 5-cent bottles and we had to hustle and do things to make money. These kids are doing whatever they need to do to survive by any means necessary. So you stop being on your high horse and judging, because we all did it. But we have to save them, because they got a bullet that comes with it. And we didn't have a bullet. You know, we had to worry about ropes and getting caught, but at least we had communication and people showed us love and they fed us, you know, and there was people that stood by us, like Mother Aretha. And do you know, for example, Mother Evers, Mega Evers' wife, turned 90, and not a soul wished her a happy birthday. I blew up on Facebook to the point that they blocked me, because how dare you? How dare you? How dare you? All the people who have died, the women have suffered the most in this country. They lost more than anybody can in this country, especially their husbands. And all we had to do was wish her a happy birthday, but you damn sure got your face all up in Beyonce's behind. And you got your face every which way. You want a new America, like Black America is coming together. No, it's not. We can't relate. We're not trying to relate to each other. And we got more kids that are hungry in group homes, and they're homeless. You don't have to go overseas to adopt nobody. You got kids right here. We could do group homes or group gatherings and have something. They just gave $7,000 for one center, and that's in the Bronx. All the money, you paying millions to see a football game, millions to see a basketball game. It's millions. It takes you the millions to go to see a movie. You create millions for these people, and they don't give you a dime back, not even a center. And we can't wait on hip-hop, because hip-hop just grew up. It took them 50 years to get where they at. So I don't understand why we still begging when we could still, we could just do it. Why are we asking? Just do it. Lead by example. I'm doing it from my home. I will be down in the office when I'm capable of moving around. But if I'm not healthy, I can't do anything for anybody else. But I do wish that woman that was on yesterday would come back on. I don't know her name, but I love a black woman that talks truth and that's not part of the dramatic slavery that's going on today. And I love Yvonne and the brothers that are here, and I hope that, you know, everything comes together because Easter is coming, another crazy holiday. So I guess they'll be eating eggs.
Thank you so much. I can get you Darcy Cook. I can get you her number if you want.
Okay. I'd appreciate that. I love talking to her.
Okay. She has some programs as well that she's pushing, and I know she would love to have the assistance.
Oh, yes. I would love to be. Hey, you know me. I'm still a radical. If I got to do it on skates, it's working for me. How is everybody doing?
Well, you this is something that I'm really glad to have heard your feedback, my sister. And the beautiful thing about that is that, you know, I'm glad to hear that you have a program out there, and I'm glad to see that, you know, you're someone that is focused on seeing some positive change come back to our community by utilizing a number of different programs that can improve our community, improve the lives of our people. But the bottom line is this. We need to really start to see what we can do to come together, and that would really be good. But, you know, the bottom line is, you know, we can come together in unity. It's not as easy as it used to be back in the 60s. Number one, there was a lot of motivation, and mainly the main reasons was because there was so much negativity going on at that time. That it really did motivate our people. And that's what made the big difference with that, you know. And leave that alone. And anyway, the bottom line with that is that, you know, that was the case. It was something that really had a huge impact on us coming together and motivation, because when you got a lot of your people being lynched and killed and all that kind of crazy stuff, you just can't sit back and say, that doesn't make a difference to me, you know. And it doesn't have a situation where you can just ignore. You do have to, you know, actually pay attention to that. And I was glad to see that that was something that our people, you know, did decide to come together on to try to get rid of those problems, you know, because it wasn't something that you could easily just ignore. And even now with our folks that, you know, we're dealing with, you know, we have something right now which is a slick way of dealing with slavery. They call it 20th century slavery. And the way the 20th century slavery actually works is that they have a situation where, for example, if you have a racist police officer that accused you of committing a crime, you know, they could throw you in jail. And also that being the situation where you've been thrown in jail to deal with a crime that you've been accused of, you won't be able to see your judge. Normally it's like a week or two later and you're thrown in jail, right? But the bottom line is they got it hooked up in some of the southern states where you actually have to stay in jail before you see the judge for 4 years. And that's ridiculous. Why in the heck would you have to wait on that unless you're looking at a system that is geared against our people to enslave our people and do free labor for them to actually do work and not even see a judge for 4 years? But during those 4 years, they got you making tables, chairs, and doing all kind of different kinds of work for them. And it's going to be free labor where you won't get a dime, a nickel, or a penny out of it, but they're going to make billions and even trillions of dollars off of you. And these are things that are very important. Our people really need to know that, you know, 20th century slavery is something that needs to be erased. And if we don't erase it, then it's going to be something that can possibly grow outside of the southern states to, you know, a national perspective, and that would really be crazy for our people, you know, nationwide to be thrown in jail for 4 years before they could even see a judge. So these are things that are going on right now that are very crazy and difficult for us to acknowledge. do something about it, then basically the situation is just going to get worse. And then we also have other serious problems with these racist police officers killing our children, killing our women, and definitely killing the adults, males. So these are things that we need to address as well. And then another serious problem is our kids killing each other left and right in the gang war. These are things that if we ignore and let happen, these kids are our future generation. And we can't have our future generation being at each other's throats like this. We have to bring them into a family perspective, seeing themselves in that kind of mindset that we are a family that needs to look out for each other, care for each other, and help each other. Not to be in a situation where we don't really care one way or another. And, you know, one of the crazy songs that I couldn't even believe, you know, was out there, one of the rap songs that a brother was actually rapping, he was saying, hey, you know, with these worthless pieces of crap niggas that you can't trust, you don't even want to work with them or nothing like that, the bottom line is if you kill a nigga, you do him a favor. And I'm going to say that to you. And you're going to keep brainwashing them by telling them that, you know, if you kill a brother or a sister, that you're actually doing them a favor, you know. And this, these are things that we need to eliminate as well. Nigga hate music that's out there. We need to stop that as well. But these are some things that we really need to look into because, you know, us coming together can bring about some positive change. And like the sister said, it's not going to be thing, but it is something that definitely can happen. But we definitely need to take the proper steps to reach out, come together in unity, and see what we can do. Because once we do start to do that from a physical and a spiritual perspective, that's when we can really bring about that positive change. But see all these crazy things that are happening in our community right now and decide to ignore it, that's not a good thing.
We have to definitely
bring about positive change by us sitting down with one another and either be in prayer or being able to do a march together. And these are things that are very important because if we're just going to sit back on the sideline and do nothing, the situations are going to get 100% worse. But if we do come together in unity to do something, that's going to make a huge difference. Spiritually and physically. Anyway, Brother Yon, I don't know if you have an additional person that would like to come on and make some comments on what we've spoken about thus far. And if you do, that would be great. I don't know if Sister Cook is on right
now. Let's try
11111.
Your mic is open. Anonymous 11111. You want to say something to your host?
Okay, do you have anyone else?
571-264. 571-264. 571-264. Your mic is open.
All right, son.
Okay.
Move on.
No.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, I definitely I thought that we would have some additional folks. But Brother Ron, if you have something that you wanted to say on what we spoke on thus far, that would be cool too, and that wouldn't be a problem. But if not, you know, then I'll take you to the next step and we'll move on from there.
Let's report. I want to report the young brother, 15 years old, that's in jail right now, Alabama, Montgomery, Alabama. Apparently, he was playing in an abandoned building, him and his friend. The cops came, and the cops ran up on them. They ran out, and the cops shot his friend, 14-year-old kid, and killed him. And they charged this young brother with murder for the kid that got killed on the same day. a white 28-year-old white male, was then being charged with murder, kidnapping, child molestation, and the cop gave and the judge on the same day gave the white guy 3 years. This is the kind of injustices that go on in America, and nobody says anything, and it continues. And it's just a matter of time, people. It's going to be your kid, your niece, your nephew, your son, your daughter, your grandson. It's a matter of time. This is out of hand. This is totally, totally not what justice looked like. This is totally not what the law should be like. This is total racism, and it's crazy, and we should not have to go through the situation. And there's a white man that's going around telling the story about this because he's outraged. And so he said, look at this. What kind of laws are these in America? Please share this message. Thanks for sharing the message to all about racism. Look what happened here. Same judge, same courtroom. I was before Lakeith. Brother name is Lakeith, and he was in this courtroom, and he was playing in an abandoned building, and the cops came in with guns. Apparently, their children, they got scared. They ran out. The cops shot his 14-year-old friend, and he got charged with murder, and he's got 65 years. At 15 years old, killed a 14-year-old kid, and he's been in jail for 8 years already. A white kid, 28 years old, molested a little girl, hit a girl in the car, she died, and the same day, same sentences. I don't know why people are not outraged and people are not saying anything about this. The same day, same court, the white guy got 3 years. And he's probably out earlier because that's what they do. The max is the 3 years. He can get out earlier. This is the kind of injustices that happens in America, and it goes unheard of. I sent the message out, everyone. Everybody should be outraged. Everybody should be doing something on behalf of this young brother, Lakeith, to help him. To help his parents, to help his mother, to help his parents. And Lakeith Smith. His name is Lakeith Smith, L-A-K-E-I-T-H. Like Keith, Lakeith Smith. And they're running a program, Justice for Lakeith Smith. And this is a white man doing this. I've sent the video out to everybody to see it. I think we should call Mississippi, Montgomery, Alabama, the state office, the district attorney, the judge, and everybody, and let them know that we are pissed at this injustice. This is in our face. This is racism at its best. It's in our face, and not a person says a damn thing, and not a person doing a damn thing. We have to fight these judges. We have to get rid of these judges. They're racist judges. And we need to get rid of them. They're not deploring law the way law is supposed to be deployed. They're not studying law. They're not adjudicating law the proper way it's supposed to be, according to the judicial system. They're doing what they want to do. They're throwing children in adult jails. They're giving children adult time for non-criminal acts. He did not kill this boy. The police killed him. But they're charging him with murder because of some stupid law from the 1800s that was supposedly protecting runaway slaves. And they're charging him with this. Everybody should be pissed. Everybody. But there's a whole bunch of stuff, like Dr. Benjamin Bridges said earlier, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on that we have to be pissed about. But if you're going to be pissed, take action. People telling me, oh, Ron, you keep saying all these things on the air, they're going to come for you. Well, damn it, they're coming for me already. Every time they kill a young black kid, every time they misabuse a black woman, every time they misabuse a black person, they already killed me. Can't get no more deader than I am right now. This is outrageous. Just being in this country, being in these conditions, are killing. So I rather like that old saying down south, before I be a slave, I be wrapped up in my grave. I better be a dead man than a walking scared cat, than a half a man walking scared. So brothers, we need to step up. We need to organize. We need to talk up. We need to strategize. We need to advertise. We need to put this stuff everywhere we can. Send this stuff out to every social media that you connected with. Let everybody get on the phone and call Montgomery, Alabama, the judicial system, call the court, call the district attorney's office, call everybody you can call, and get justice for Lakeith Smith. Like Malcolm said, by any way means possible. And these people that are running this, they're coming from Europe. These are Europeans. They saw this and they disgusted at it. And these are white people, and they're disgusted at what kind of goddamn law is being practiced in America. They're supposed to be the last bastion of freedom. This is a whole bunch of jive. And I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of reading about it, tired of being about it, I'm tired of being around it, I'm tired of seeing it, and it's time that we take action. No more talk, action. And we all have to come together, millions of us, like Black Lives Matter. Everybody should be on this outside crump. Black Lives Matter. I don't give a damn. LGBT, LKY, them people. They all should be on this. Everybody, white woman, when your Me Too movement should be on this. If people want to support their causes, if the LGBTQ, whatever they call themselves, if they want somebody to support their gay causes or their lesbians or whatever, or their transgendering, whatever they're doing, then support our cause. If the white women want to support Me Too, support our cause. If the black this and the black that, the immigrants and every damn body else want us to support their cause, support our cause as well. That's what we're going to have to do. We got to find allies. They say find allies and unite with other people. Poor white people want us to support their cause. They got to come support our cause as well. We have to call everybody out. This is the time right now for calling people out. Like Dr. King did, got everybody and anybody.
A baby dwarf. And the dwarf is so small that it can't even...
We have to do this immediately before they come to your door, your child, your niece, your nephew, your next door neighbor, your godchild, your stepchild, whatever. It's just a matter of time. They coming. It's a war. And if people don't know it, then you goddamn better wake up. It's not about who is this, who is that, who was here first, who was here last, who got here yesterday. That's not the goddamn point. The point is we're black, we're being attacked, and we got to fight back. That's it. That's it. You got a common enemy. When you're in the war, you don't think about, oh, what this guy look like, what this guy talk like, what this guy come from when you're in the war. When you're in the war, you go to war. It's that simple. There ain't no big U's and small I's and difference in war. When a military's put together and they go to war, the one point that everybody is pointed at is the enemy. So here's the war. We got an enemy. We got to come together. That's simple as that. It ain't no ifs, ands, buts about it. It got to be something got to change. Like Sam Cooke said, change got to come. A change is going to come. It got to come. It must come. It must get here. But if we're not willing to work together, forget about it. If you ain't got common sense enough to save your black behind, then you out your damn mind. I'm going to tell you like it is. I got common sense enough to know that this thing is coming for every person, black person, person of color, they coming. You niggas can sit there and think y'all happy, think y'all acting stupid, rapping, doing whatever y'all doing, walking down the street, your pants down, acting like a goddamn fool. You can walk up and down, you niggas that think you got a Cadillac and a big house or a Rolls Royce or a Mercedes Benz and think you ain't going to get hurt. Your behind is in trouble as well. They coming for you as well. They're coming for the poor. They're coming for the rich. They're coming for the PhD. They're coming from the no degree. They're coming from the homeless. They're coming from the homeowner. They're coming for everybody. And if y'all think y'all ain't, y'all think y'all whatnot don't stink, you better wake up. They're coming for you. They coming. And that should be the word around us. That should be the word across America. They coming. That old saying years ago when the British was coming to America for the war, they said the British are coming, the British are coming, the British are coming, the British are coming. The guy had to go around the town and all those places yelling, the British are coming. Well, the crackers are coming. The racists are coming. KKK, Nazi skinheads are coming. Antisocial, Proud Boys, Trump and his lump of ignorant asses are coming. They coming. He already told them that all the prosecutors that are prosecuting him are black and they're racist and go get the niggas. Trump already said that. Y'all don't think that he could have responded to that craziness? Over 51% of the Americans in America support Trump. They over 52% believe that the election was stolen. Over 60% feel that African Americans need to go back to Africa. Over 7% think that African Americans should be back in slavery. Okay? So y'all think it's that simple? Y'all think y'all got it going on? Because you got a couple of dollars, got a little degree? Huh. Your behind is black. They're not looking for your damn degree. They don't give a damn how many houses you got, how many millions you got in the bank. Your behind is black and they coming for you. And that should be the word around African Americans. That should be the word around black folks. They are coming. They're coming. And so my suggestion is that you get ready. You get ready, ma'am, sir, young man, young woman, college student, graduate university student, in the university, undergrad, postgrad, grad, poor, rich, fat, ugly, pretty, get ready. Everybody, all foot's on the ground. It's time to go to war. It's time to stand up. Man be a man, woman be a woman. It's time to get going, y'all. When I was a Bible said, when I was a child, I act like a child. I ran like a child. I played like a child, but now I'm a man. Now I'm acting like a man, talking like a man, walking like a man. When I was a little girl, I played like a little girl. I was a little girl. Now I'm a goddamn woman. Act like a woman, walk like a woman, talk like a woman. Step up. Step up, people. I'm getting tired talking every damn time and nobody seems to be listening. Step up. That's my word for the day. Step up, everybody. Step up. Step up right now, this minute. Thank you, Dr. Benjamin, for those true words. Appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate your feedback too, my brother, because the bottom line is our people really do need to step up to the plate and do something. We cannot afford to sit back and to just criticize one another. We have to actually bring each other into unity and into harmony, because that's another thing. Too many times we come together, and instead of coming together to work with one another and to be a blessing for one another, all we're doing is arguing and yelling and cursing each other out. And these are things that we don't need to do. But the bottom line is, that's one of the reasons why we need to see what we can do to really bring about some positive change in our community and in our approach to bringing ourselves together. Because coming together is a good thing, but at the same time, if you're not coming together in harmony and in the reality of really trying to work with one another and help each other, then all you're going to do is just add on more hostility, anger, and hatred amongst each other, and that's not a good thing. These are things that we need to eliminate in our community. And we could do it. These are things that don't have to last. But the bottom line is the only way that we could bring about it to be change, the only way we could bring about it to bring in harmony is that we have to have programs that can really help to reprogram the minds of our people from a negative state of mind to a positive state of mind. Because as long as your people stay in that negative state of mind, they're not going to come together. They're going to look at you with anger in their minds and hearts and don't want to have nothing to do with you. And why they would even show up for a meeting doesn't even make any sense. But when you have people that are Uncle Tom brothers and Uncle Tom sisters that actually want to come to meetings to sabotage what you're doing, it's only because their hearts and minds are filled with so much self-hatred towards one another that that's all they want to do. And that's really sad to see because, unfortunately, we do have some brothers and sisters that are Uncle Tom brothers and sisters that are out here. And one of the worst situations that I ever saw that didn't make any sense at all was dealing with Martin Luther King. That was really ridiculous. Here's a sister that went to a Harlem event that Martin Luther King was at. And when he was at this event, he had written a book already, and he was getting it out to the people about how the civil rights movement had really made a huge impact on helping our people. But there was also some other things in the book that he spoke about that our people needed to get involved with. But anyway, make a long story short, you know, at the end of his meeting, you know, there was quite a few people that came up to him and shook his hand and said, hey, brother, I was really on the money. What you were saying, that was really great, and I really do appreciate you. And then the sister came up and said, Martin, you were one of the greatest brothers I've ever known, and you've done some great and wonderful things for my people, and all I want to do is just give you a hug. And Martin said, you want me to give you a hug? Yeah, that's all I want to do is just give you a hug. So what ended up happening, Martin said, okay, no problem. I'll give you a hug, sis. You want to show some appreciation by a hug, no problem. But anyway, they both got ready to hug each other, and then homegirl reached into her dress and pulled out a knife and stabbed him in the chest. And how the heck are you going to say that this is one of the most positive and great brothers that you have ever known, and then you're going to want to kill him? Doesn't make any sense. But that's what you call self-hatred. And it doesn't make any sense for us to be stuck in that mindset of even wanting to kill, you know, our leaders and people that have done great and wonderful things for our people, but yet you do find people stuck in that mindset as well. But that's what you call Uncle Tomism, whether it's with a woman, with an Uncle Tomasina, or whether it's with a brother who's just a regular knucklehead Uncle Tom. So these are things that we can definitely turn around. But the only thing about it is that we need to come together, as I said again, in harmony. And that's what I was saying before about finding the right people to work with so that we can really bring our people together in harmony. Because it's not something that's mission impossible to find folks that will want to, you know, work with us and to help us and things of that sort. So there are people out there that want to do that. But the bottom line is that we just need to find the right people. And there are quite a few people out there that are willing to really do some positive things with us. But again, the only way these kind of things can really and truly come about is by finding the right people. Because if we're going to deal with folks that are really Uncle Tom brothers or sisters, then that's a big problem. So even one of the big problems that happened with, I'm trying to remember the brother's name. He's from Jamaica. And as a matter of fact, they even have a park named after him in Harlem. And he was here in the United States, and he had a movement.
Marcus Garvey. He wanted to,
brother, what's his name?
Marcus Garvey.
Marcus Garvey, exactly. That's his name. Marcus had a movement where he wanted to bring our people back to Africa to really try to see about uniting the whole, you know, continent of Africa into one government, one nation. And, you know, that was a big project right there because there was a number of countries that were there. There's a number of different tribes that were there. But the bottom line is he was saying, hey, it doesn't make a difference, you know, how many tribes and how many nations are on the continent of Africa. The bottom line is we need to come together with that. And he said, I want to be a actual leader of all the nations of Africa. And after I deal with that, then I want to see about, you know, actually trying to see what we could do with, you know, taking over different countries in here in the world. And I was like, wow, you know, when he was saying that, the big problem was that he did have some, it was all black members that were there, but they went back and squealed on him. And afterwards, what ended up happening, they stopped his project that he had. And he had two ships that were, you know, supposed to be taking, you know, African-Americans and other Caribbeans and Africans back to Africa to help unite Africa. But the bottom line was that because he was talking about taking over the world and all this kind of stuff, they actually, you know, stopped it altogether. And they kicked him out of America, and then they threw him back into Jamaica. But then eventually they allowed him to actually go to England, and that's where he ended up moving to. But his project, he was totally denied to do that because they did not want to take any chance of him being successful in doing what he wanted to do. But the bottom line of what I'm trying to say is that because there was an Uncle Tom that was there and heard what he wanted to do, they ran back to Master Charlie and told him what, you know, Marcus was trying to do. And then they, you know, totally sabotaged his project wanting to unite Africa. And that would have been a great thing if Africa could have been united. But anyway, again, one of the very important things that we need to do is to be able to come together both physically and spiritually. And these are things that we can do. But again, we just need to come together and finding the right people to work with and hopefully leaving out Uncle Tom and Uncle Thomasinas that want to sabotage and destroy what we're trying to do to help our people. We need to find the right people that have no objection to us coming together to help one another and to create a new community here in America and around the world. It doesn't have to be a situation where we're going to, you know, take over the world and enslave white people or something crazy like that. We're just talking about coming together in unity so we can stop the, you know, violence that we're having in our community. We can stop the negative situation of poverty and other things. And that doesn't mean that there has to be a civil war or anything between us and white people. But what it does mean is that we need to come together in unity to stop all this negativity in our community. And we could do it once we come together. No question about that. Because we did it before in the 60s, and we could do it again now. You know, and 2023 can definitely be the year that can really be the serious game changer for us. But the bottom line is we definitely need to step up to the plate and see what we can do. Because there are enough millionaires, black millionaires and billionaires in our communities that are black people, even though they move out of our communities and they move into rich white communities. But the bottom line is that, you know, some of them are in the mindset that they don't mind coming back and helping our people. And unfortunately, some of them as well don't want to have anything to do with helping our people after they get that kind of money, where they become multimillionaires. But the bottom line is there's a number of different things that we can tap into to really help our people. And one of the things that I consider to be called the icing on the cake is to tap into our spiritual ability to bring about positive change as well. Because if we can actually focus on us as a people really coming together in harmony with God and with Jesus, then these are things that can definitely bring about some positive change. But But the only problem is that many of us, you know, don't really feel that spirituality is something that we can take from a real perspective. We're just, you know, wasting our time dealing with spirituality because God and Jesus really doesn't have no power to really bring about no positive change in our lives. And that's a lie. That's what Satan wants you to believe. But the reality is that God and Jesus, especially God, he's the one that created the whole entire universe, millions of planets, suns, moons, and stars, animals, birds, oceans, rivers, you know, mountains, you name it, man. This whole planet was created by him, and he created millions of others. And he also created foreign or alien races that are on there, too. And they don't all look like human beings. Some of them look, you know, different kind of looks altogether. But the bottom line is this. Regardless of the creation of the Creator, right now here on planet Earth, for us to stay focused on this and see what we could do with healing our community and healing the world community, because there's so much murdering, hatred, anger, you know, stealing, enslaving, all kind of crazy things that are really going on now. And it's just that even right now, with the enslavery that is going on here in the United States, it's being done in a slick way. And that's why people don't even really notice it as much as it should be noticed right now. But it is something that is really and definitely having a huge impact on our people. But our people haven't stepped up to the plate yet to even deal with that. And that's something that we definitely need to do. And anyway, one of the things I did want to say to everyone is that our people at this time need to definitely be reawakened to our true identity of who they are. Because we are not just limited black people that are stuck in racism, that are stuck in poverty, that are stuck in situations that we have no power to overcome or come out of. We are people that definitely have the ability to bring about positive change for ourselves and for our community. And once we start to really focus on that and see that not as a possibility, as a maybe, a if, or a might, but as something that can definitely come about, that's when it will come about. But the difference between being in a situation where you can really bring things about and a situation where it doesn't work is when you can't even see it from a positive perspective where it can come about. And that's the sad part about it. And that's the part of what you call the brainwashing. Because you have been told by Master Charlie that if you try to do certain things to help your people, you are not going to be able to exist another day in your life. And that's crazy. Even though we have seen certain things where some of our leaders were literally killed and murdered, the bottom line is that they were still successful in achieving many of the things that they were attempting to do. So the bottom line is, if you're so worried about, you know, being murdered or killed and things of that sort, of course you're not going to get involved. And that was one of the reasons why Martin Luther King started off with a small amount of people in the beginning. But when they saw the great results of those marches and of those protests and how our people weren't being lynched and murdered behind that, that's when other churches and the mosques got involved and, you know, the Hebrews and, you know, even the Rashtas, you know, some of them got involved as well. But the bottom line was with our people coming together in unity and harmony, that was a good thing. Because when the Muslims, the Christians, the Hebrews came together, they weren't at each other's throats, cursing each other out and wanting to fight with each other and trying to kill each other. They came together and talking about different ways that they could do marches together. They came together in different ways that they could do protests and things like that. So they came together in a positive and harmonious way that actually brought forth good and wonderful results. And the same thing can happen now. But again, we just need to start off with the right people, not folks that, you know, you're going to bring into the meeting and they're going to, you know, argue and curse each other out and all that kind of crazy stuff. You have to find the right people that have an open mind and heart, you know, are harmoniously open to us coming together in unity and would be glad to work with us and not worried about if they're a Christian that, you know, right now, today, you know, there's 30 Christians and there's 50 Muslims, and now you want to leave the meeting and you don't want to have no more time to deal with them no more because there's more Muslims than there are Christians. And you don't want to have nothing to do with it now. It doesn't make a difference, the number of Christians or the number of Muslims. The bottom line is we need to come together with an open heart and mind and not allow Satan to put up that brick wall of divide and conquer between us. Because as long as we can see ourselves from a positive perspective, whether we're Muslims, Hebrew Israelites, Rastafarians, Christians, it doesn't make a difference. The bottom line is that we're here to help each other, to work with each other, and to really make some great and wonderful things come about. And these are things that can definitely happen. But the bottom line is we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that these are things that we can bring about. And with that being said, right now what I would like to do is to actually see what we can do in regards to us coming together, you know, in the prayer and meditation that we do normally before we get ready to, you know, go into the other part of our program. So right now I do have one of our members that is getting ready to, you know, do a prayer for us, and that is Prophetess Ann. And she's going to start things off, and then we're going to move on from there.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, God. We thank you for another day, God. We thank you for what you're doing, God. We thank you for peace. You said the greatest thing that we can have is love. We thank you for what you're about to do, God. God, we look at Jesus, how Jesus, when the people beat him 39 slashes, and he looked to the heaven, and he said, Father, forgive them, because they know not what they did. So, Lord, we just thank you, God. We thank you for the love, God. You said, if you don't have love, you have nothing. So, God, we thank you for the love that you shared, your son, your only begotten son that you gave to the world. So, Lord, we just thank you, God. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Thank you, my sister, for hearing that powerful prayer. Yes, indeed. Nobody but God inspires and directs us on what to say and what to do. Anyway, right now, we're going to get ready to do three deep breaths, and after we do the three deep breaths, we're going to go right into the meditation. Okay, so here we go. What I would like us to do at this point is find that comfortable sitting position. We're finding that comfortable sitting position, close our eyes for a minute, and get ready to do the three deep breaths. Ready to do the meditation right after. So here we go. For the first breath, breathe in deep, all peace, calm, and total relaxation. And as you feel that spirit of total relaxation moving from the crown of your head to the bottom of your feet, feel all stress, anxiety, and tension totally being removed and allowing the spirit of total relaxation to calmly and wonderfully fill your mind, heart, and even soul with that positive feeling. And now you can move on to finishing the first breath. Breathe out right now. Breathe out all tension, anxiety, and negativity. And as you let go of all of that negative energy, we will start to see a new reality, positive energy, relaxation filling our minds and hearts. And now we are preparing ourselves so we can have a brand new start. So number two, breathe in deep. And this is our true and powerful new identity as being true sons and daughters of God that have the ability to do great, awesome, and amazing things, even though we've been told that we are simply weak human beings that can hardly do anything. And that's the reason why you see the reflection of what we have in our community. But that is not the truth. When you have a system that is rigged against your community and it's causing a lot of negative things to come about, then that's the reason why. It's not the reflection of the people themselves. It's a reflection of how can I allow you to be an equal citizen to me, where you have just as much power as I do, and I'm going to have complete control over you. That's not going to work. But if you're stuck in poverty, if you're stuck in a negative mindset, then all of these negative things will keep you down and out, and it makes it very easy for me to control you and keep you in a position where I will be in control of you. But that's the thing. Once you know your true identity, then you can start to set yourself free to live inside a positive mindset and a new reality. For as you knowing that you are a true son or daughter of God, and that you do have the spiritual power and ability to bring about positive change in your community, then that is what we really, really, really need to know. Because once we start to actually see that as our ability, because we are true sons and daughters of God, that's when we can truly, truly start to see great and wonderful things flowing to you and me. But anyway, our true identity is a very important piece to recognize, but we are not weak human beings that can hardly accomplish anything. But as the Lord once told us in Genesis, he said, you are made in the likeness and image of God. And if you're made in the likeness of God, if you're made in the image of God, that means you are a God being, a true son or daughter of God. And if you are that, then basically that means that you are definitely not a weak human being that can hardly achieve anything in life. You are a God being that has your God-given power and ability that can accomplish awesome and amazing spiritual and supernatural things that can come about. But the bottom line is, you have to believe it in order to receive it. You have to see it in order for you to actually believe it and receive it. This is something that is very important. But anyway, our true identity is a very important piece that we need to acknowledge ourselves to see. We are truly sons and daughters of God that have the ability to make some great and wonderful things come about. So now, let us look and see one of the things on the second breath. We already breathed it in, and now let us breathe out. Let us all breathe out right now the negativity of fear and doubt. And as we have breathed all of that negativity out, let us know for a fact that we truly do have the ability to bring about positive and wonderful things in our lives and in our community lives. But the bottom line is, in order for these things to truly come about, we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we are not limited human beings that can hardly do anything. We are just the opposite. We are true sons and daughters of God that have the power and the ability to turn negativity totally around. And once we start to turn all of that around, we'll start to see us getting rid of that sadness and that painful frown that many of our people have. But the bottom line is to see it, believe it, and know that we can achieve it. These are things that we can do, but we have to believe it in order for it to come through. And our last breath, once again, here we go. Breathe in deep. And as we're breathing in deep, we are breathing in the, not the idea, but our spiritual power. Yes, our spiritual power in oneness with God. That spiritual power you were born with, but the only problem was most of us were never told that we had anything like that in us. Most of us were never told that the Supreme Lord of the universe said that we were made in the likeness and image of God. Most of us were never told that we have the ability to do great, awesome, and amazing things because of our God-given power that dwells within us. But how can you use your God-given power if you have been told that that's all a lie? And that's what Satan has said. Satan does not want you to know that you have any spiritual connection with God or Jesus the Christ. All he wants you to do is believe his lies of being a limited human being that can hardly accomplish anything. And that way, he can cause a lot of negative things to come your way. But once you do acknowledge your true identity and your true ability of your spiritual power of God that dwells within you, then you can utilize that spiritual power to bring about positive change in your community. But again, in order for any of these things to truly come about, we have to realize that we have to acknowledge it, that we have to see it as our true identity, that we have to know that God's awesome and amazing power dwells within you and me. And the wonderful thing about this is that when I read that in the book, I was like, wow, I am made in the likeness and image of God? Really? Oof. Well, how come this is not being taught in the churches? I don't understand this. I mean, this doesn't make any sense. But that was the thing. The churches in the black community were told that this is the way you should read and deal with the Bible. Do not try to deal with any of the higher teachings of God or Jesus. Just deal with seeing yourself as worthless sinners that may have to take their whole lifetime to get rid of the sins and negative things in their life. And if you guys can stay focused on that, that would be good. But for you to focus on the fact that you are made in the likeness and image of God, that you are a true son and daughter of God, that you can do, as Jesus said, the things I do, you can do and even more. That is awesome and amazing. That is so powerful that if you actually took the time to look into that, to see if it was really true, then you can turn all of that negativity around and start to experience these things. And that's what happened for me. I did actually experience great, awesome, and amazing things because I believe that what Jesus was saying, the things I do, you can do, and even more, I believed it was true. I didn't believe he got drunk that day and then, you know, said something crazy. I believe what he was saying was very real, and it was the God-given spoken truth. But the problem was, from childhood up to adulthood, we're told that we're limited human beings that can do very, very little. And that's the lie of Satan. But the bottom line is, because we've been told that for so many years, sometimes it takes us a while before we can actually release those lies and then start to see things from a positive perspective. And that's what we really need to do. Because as long as we hold on to Satan's lies and believe in that, more so than not, we believe in the truth of God, then of course, those lies are going to have, unfortunately, powerful effects upon us. But as long as we start to open our minds and hearts to realize that we are true sons and daughters of God that do have the ability to do great, awesome, and amazing things, that's when we're going to start to see some great, awesome, and amazing things come about. But we have to believe it beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was not joking around when he said we're made in the likeness and image of God, and that Jesus wasn't joking around when he said the things I do, you can do, and even more. And that is something that is very, very, very powerful. But unfortunately, these are things that we were not taught in the churches. And to even show you even more so, there were 6 books in the Bible that were written by Jesus' disciples. And the funny thing about it was, one of the main things that each of those chapters were focused on was that we are true sons and daughters of God that have awesome and amazing power. But the only thing is, we have to be willing to serve God and serve Jesus. We have to be willing to reach out to be a blessing to the lives of others. And if we're willing to do these kind of things, these are the things that will allow us to tap into our God-given power. But the bottom line is, we're being told that these are things that we can't do, and you're wasting your time even trying to do it, because you don't have the ability to do it. But again, God's sin is love. And if we're going to believe Satan, then that's a whole other story. But if we're going to believe God, then that is where we can take things to the next level. And as I said, my testimony is that in really believing what Jesus and God said, that I am made and we are made in the likeness and image of God, and that, as Jesus said, the things I do, you can do, and even more. And again, Satan does not want you to believe this, nor do those that were the leaders of the Christian faith. They wanted you to just see yourself as just being sinners in the world. They didn't want you to see yourself as a God being. Because if you actually could tap into your God power, how can people have power over you? They really can. Because if you could really thoroughly tap into your ability to resurrect the dead, if you could tap into your ability to manifest wealth, poverty would no longer be your enemy. You would be set free. If you had the ability to actually manifest food, then people that were starving would no longer have to worry about starving, because you would have the money to buy them food, and you could manifest food yourself. These are things that would definitely totally erase many of the problems that we have. And one of the most powerful and wonderful things is if you could see the divine love of God and the divine love of Jesus, the ability to turn the minds and hearts of those who are caught into Satan's mindset of wanting to hate each other, wanting to kill each other, wanting to not have anything to do with one another as far as helping each other or anything like that. All you are supposed to be able to do is to see things from that state of negativity. But now we're talking about you being able to see things from that positive mindset and knowing that you are truly a son or daughter of God that has the ability to do great, awesome, and amazing things. And once we start to really, truly believe that these are things that we can do, that's when we're going to start to see great, awesome, and amazing things start coming through. But we do have that ability, and we've been lied to and told that we don't. But we don't have to go along with that lie of Satan. We can go along with the truth of God. And that's what we truly need to do. Because once we start to see that these are things that we can truly do, and that this is who we truly are, then this is when our community will definitely start to change. This is when we will start to not have hatred for one another, but have harmony with one another, not have our sense of wanting to be at each other's throats, but be at each other's to help each other, to share with one another, to be a blessing to one another. And that is the mindset that we should be in. But once we start to see things from that positive perspective and really and truly want to help each other out, that's when our community will totally change beyond a shadow of a doubt. But we have to believe it and see it in order to achieve it. But it definitely can come about. But anyway, these are things that we can definitely do. But the bottom line is, in order for these things to truly come about, we have to start to see our new reality. And that is that we are true sons and daughters of God that have to focus on tapping into our God-given power. But we have to acknowledge that God is who we should serve and who we should definitely give all praise and honor to. And that Jesus as well is who we should serve and give all praise and honor as well. And as we serve these two and start to see a brand new reality that now we are two sons and daughters of God, like I said, one of the great, awesome, and amazing things that I discovered was when I had the power and the ability to use the healing power of Christ Jesus, heal the lives of people. And I was like, wow, this is deep. I never knew I could do these things, but Jesus said it in the book. And guess what? Jesus was right. I can do this. And that was amazing. And then the other side of it was being able to actually see the manifestation of cash and money. The thing about it was I never really got into the millions of dollars because that's what I really wanted to do. But, you know, 300, 1500, and helped a sister with her business. So our group did a prayer on that for her business to get 50,000. And 3 days after we put that out there, she got three different finances calling her on the same day. and she picked the one that was the best one for her to deal with. But the bottom line was she got $50,000 that she was asking for after we did the meditation. So these are things that we can do. It's not even a question of can this come about or do you think this can work. It definitely can. And what I was feeling with the 50, with the 300, with the 1500, what the Lord was sharing with me is that, yes, you can definitely go from the thousands into the millions, but you have to stay focused on this. You have to believe this, and you have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that these are things that can truly come about. And like I said, I was really surprised because in doing a prayer and meditation, the next day, you know, seeing $300 in my bank account blew my mind. I was like, what? You know, that was like amazing, you know, because that $300 didn't come from anything that I, you know, was dealing with. But yet, because the manifestation of wealth is things that we can do, that was something that came through. But all I can say to you now is that we have the ability to do these things, but we've been told that we don't. Thing is, we have to leave the negative mindset of Satan and come into the positive mindset of God and Jesus. And once we leave that negative thinking pattern and come into the positive thinking pattern of knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that these are things we can bring about because we are true sons and daughters of God, that's when we're going to really seriously see some great and wonderful things come about. But anyway, all I can say at this point is that we as a people definitely, definitely do need to awaken to our true reality. And once we do, we'll start to see things coming to you and to me in a very positive and wonderful way. And that's what we really need to do each and every day. And utilizing another very powerful spiritual tool that can be utilized, not only visualization and meditation, not only the power of prayer, but also affirmation. And being able to use affirmation can really be a brain reprogrammer and empowerer. That's right. Affirmation can empower your mind from negative to positive. And one of the ones that was really nice was, now that I am a strong believer, I am now blessed to be a strong achiever. Now that I am a strong believer, I am now blessed to be a strong achiever. Now that I am a strong believer, I am blessed to be a strong achiever. These are things that we can definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, saying over and over again at different times in the course of a day. These are things that can help us to really empower our mind to see, now that we're strong believers and we really do believe that these things can come about, now we can start them truly, truly coming about. But that's where we all come in to play, because we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is something that can truly, truly come about. All right? So anyway, that's one of the affirmations. Another one that is very powerful, and I partially said it earlier, I see it, I believe it, and now I receive it. I see it, I believe it, and now I receive it. I see it, I believe it, and now I achieve it. I see it, I believe it, and now I achieve it. I see it, I believe it, and now I receive it. I see it, I believe it, and now I achieve it. By saying a affirmation from that standpoint and from that perspective, that really helps us very much so. Because as we start to see ourselves as strong believers that have the ability to be blessed because we're strong believers, then basically that will definitely have you become a strong achiever and receiver. And that is very powerful. And the other side of it, in seeing it and believing it, we can now receive it. These are things that are very powerful as well. But that's the thing. We have to put ourselves in that positive mindset of believing it, of being a strong believer, and knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt that what we're focused on with God and Jesus will definitely come about. And the other side is, as we see it and as we believe it, we can definitely receive it and achieve it. So these are things that are strong affirmations. And we have several others that are very powerful as well. But one thing that is also very good to know is that we need to see it as something, the goals and dreams that we have, as something that has already been done. And when we see it as something that has already been done, that's when the blessings will definitely come our way. And we'll start to see things coming about in a positive and wonderful way. So these are things that we can definitely do. And affirmations are very powerful too. And the last one that I would like to share with you is what we usually end the prayer and meditation with. And I want to say this one with you because this is a very powerful affirmation as well. And this one goes like this. I see it already done. And with God and Jesus, our victory has been won. I see it already done. And with God and Jesus, our victory has been won. I see it already done. And with God and Jesus, our victory has been won. I see it already done. And with God and Jesus, our victory has truly, truly, truly been won. Amen, amen, and amen. So all I can say at this point is that, you know, we do have our music that is getting ready to come on board. And if there was anything that anyone had a comment on, you know, on the things that we discussed thus far, you know, they could have an opportunity to speak on it. But one thing for sure, we have just opened up that door for those people that do have an open mind and open heart in God and in Christ to know that we can definitely bring these awesome and amazing things about. But we have to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that these are things that we can truly be blessed to bring about. But anyway, I do have one person that has a comment, and that's Prophetess Ann, and she just wanted to share, you know, her feedback on what we've said thus far.
Truly, I just thank God for what the man of God said. We all need to come together, stop all this jealousy, stop all this envy, and come together, you know, because the youth, the young people, they looking at the old people. You know, you got to show the youth some stuff. Sometimes you got to come down. You can't be holy than thou. You can't be so earthly good that you're not for the world. So I just thank God for the message, what he said and what he was saying. It's so true. You know, we need to take a stand. Stop talking about it and be about it. Just like Denzel Washington said, it starts in the home. You know, people need to take the youth under them. Go and talk to them. Because the Bible said the old man take care of the young ones. Y'all got to talk to them. Show them love. He said, love and kindness that I draw these. So if you don't have love, you have nothing. You know, you can't knock a man down because he's out there doing this or that. He don't have God on him. But God still loves him. And even when they're in their mess, God still loves us. So that's why I thank God for God, because he's not like man. He won't turn his back when you do wrong. He'll say, he'll have his arms open wide and say, come on back home, my children. So, I just, you know, just pray for the youth. You know, we need to pray against these guns. We need to pray against the racists, how they could just do the black men any kind of way in jail. Talk to protests about everything else. Why we can't protest about that? That's where we need to protest, where the people getting killed in the jailhouse. You know, we need to protest. Stop talking about it and be about it. Get out there and protest. Like Martin Luther King, he protests. He didn't talk about it. He did it. Why we can't do it? Why we can't stand up for our race? Time to take that stand. Stop talking about it and do it. Take a stand in New York City. 6-year-old boy shot a girl. Come on. When we grow up, we didn't know nothing about no guns. When we got in fights, we went back to our brother and sister. We got it right. Come on, violence. It's like sorrow and tomorrow. When God said he's going to destroy the city, he said it's praying time. It's not time to talk about nobody. It's time to call on the name of Jesus. Just like God had me to preach today. Don't let God grieve his heart for making you. He said he created man first. He created y'all first. That's all I got to say.
All right, my sister. Well, thank you for very powerful feedback. And we got just a few minutes left for the music now. So, Brother Ron, if you can play the music, that would be a good thing. Thank you, my brother.
just
thank you.
job and new girl. I'm going to have to push you both as a Starbucks. I'm not sure if that's